Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this program. We're going to be back on the letter O today, and I believe this will be our fifth lesson concerning obedience. Concerning obedience. Let me just say a few things before we get going here. I appreciate you disciplining yourself to know the Word of God. And that shows your sincerity and your love for the Lord, because the enemy and the world does everything it can. Everything in this world does everything it can to pull that Bible away from you, to keep God's Word out of your mind and out of your heart especially. The Lord said, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we have to keep our hearts from, it'd be kind of like walking a big dog, a big strong dog that always wanting to pull you. You know, them kind of dogs when you got them on a leash and they just keep the line just as tight as it can, always pulling on you and jerking on you, going left and right. And you have to reach hold of them and pull them back and pull them back. That's kind of like your heart is. Your heart's always pulling on you, wanting to go somewhere, wanting to go here, wanting to go there, and you have to keep it. You keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I know that y'all that are studying with me, and we're studying the Word of God, we're studying what the Bible says, we're not studying what Brother TV thinks, even though I agree with every word of the Scriptures. I agree with what God says and try to conform myself in every way. But I'm like you. It takes a whole lot of labor for us to yield some things. And that's what we do. We just the Holy Ghost conforms us into the image of Christ. We don't make excuses for our sin. We confess our sins. And we tell the Lord that, and the Lord says, all right, let's get up and try it again. And the Lord has already forgiven us. He's already given us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are, now, I want you to take this right. We are not sinners, even though we are. But doctrinally, we are not sinners. We are saints that sin. Did you get that? That's different. But, you know, I don't run around saying that, because people don't understand that unless they're born again. But we do sin. And, I guess one thing I wanted to say is, there might be some of y'all out there listening. I remember when we first started this thing, I told you that, I didn't want to be arguing with anybody, and I haven't. Nobody's called me yet. Nobody's said anything to me, in a derogatory way or anything like that. But I have a clear conscience with what I'm trying to teach, and I believe what we're talking about coming from the Word of God is absolute truth, and we are honoring the Lord and honoring His Word, and we're keeping that the main thing about what we're talking about, no matter what the subject is. But there are a lot of folks out there that don't care about the Word of God and want to try to trip everything and mess everything up, and this program is not for you. If you're out there and that's all you want to do is try to mess this program up or mock it or talk about what you think and everything else, then don't even listen to them. Just turn the radio off, or not radio, who said radio? Turn off your tape player and don't listen to it, because it's not meant for you. This program is meant for sincere Bible-believing Christians, born-again Bible-believing Christians that aren't getting fed from the Word of God and want to be fed from the Word of God. That's what this is for. The ABCs of Christian growth. We're learning the Word of God because we love God and we appreciate Him, and we want to serve Him right in every way. So, if you are one of them and you listening to this so you can try to catch Brother TV in his words and blabbity blab blab and all that stuff, it ain't going to take you very long to be able to catch me in my words, but you're not going to catch me in a lie. You're not going to catch me in insincerity. You're not going to catch me as a fake, because that's not what I'm about. But I bet we could catch you You see? So what I'm saying is, don't waste my time. Don't waste all the people that's listening to this time. And just go find you somebody else to chew on, because that's not what this is all about. We're wanting to learn. We want God's blessings in our life, and we want the Lord to commend us and be proud of us. And that's what we're doing this for. So, and plus, you're too smart for the ABCs of Christian growth anyway. Go get you a college book or something and bounce around in it for a little while. But anyway, let's go ahead and move back into our study of the different relationships that require obedience towards authority. That's what we was on last time, if you remember. And we only got through one of them, and that was the marital relationship concerning the husband and the wife. Now, I hope none of y'all went and punched a hole through your wall or something like that after we got done with that last program talking about the husband and the wife and the authority. But that's what God says, you know? And if you want to know what God said, God says some things that are hard sometimes, but they're right. But they're right. Now, you cannot learn the Word of God and be wanting to absorb the Word of God and conform to the Word of God if you're going to compare it to the world. The world is not comparable to the Word of God in anything. When it comes to, now, the devil puts counterfeits out there and this, that, and the other, but I'm talking about when the Lord says something about a marital relationship and the authority concerning the marital relationship. The world has absolutely no interest in what God says concerning. Matter of fact, they're in rebellion concerning what a marital relationship is been in traditionally in history. Matter of fact, all the homosexuals and everybody have their big parties up there in the government and everything trying to put bills in. And they got them some big backers with billions of dollars and this, that, and the other. And they're trying to put a bill in now to keep you from saying the words husband and wife. There'll be no, they're trying to absolutely wipe out the word husband and wife. Ain't that the most ridiculous thing you ever heard? Why in the world would you want to do that? That's some crazy stuff. There's some stupid people in this world and doing some stupid things. But that's what I'm telling you. You see, husband and wife, why does husband and wife offend anybody? Why does the very word husband and wife offend anybody? Why is that offensive? How is that offensive? If you're not a husband, you're not a wife, it doesn't concern you. Why should it offend you? Whole different reasons for things that are happening out in the world today, and you can't compare it to the Word of God. God's Word is truth, and the way that you do it is you keep polarities. In other words, God's word is one way, and the world's ways are another way, and there's no similarities in them at all, and they're not relative. Everything is not the same. Everything is different when it comes to the Lord and what He says and what everybody else says. When it comes to this authority matter and it comes to different relationships that require obedience, in the marital relationship, if you remember correctly, you remember what we was talking about, the Bible says that the husband is supposed to lead the family and be the head of the household, and that the wife is supposed to submit and be in subjection to her husband, that if any obey not the word, that they may without the word be won. And the Bible says that the women are supposed to have chaste conversation. The way that you're, the manner of way that you live is supposed to be chaste, pure, clean. And when people look at you, they see humility. They see submission. They see something that's beautiful, that the Lord says is beautiful. And it is beautiful. It is. Man, when I look at a godly woman, and I mean, there's several women that have been in my life that that I still appreciate in my mind right now. They're gone to be with the Lord, but I watched their walk for a long time, and they taught me what a woman in subjection looks like, and they were just as beautiful as they could be. There wasn't nothing ugly or nasty about them at all. They didn't look nothing like the world. They were beautiful women concerning, the Bible said, the inner man. They were beautiful from the inside out. not like the world does in their vanity mirrors and puts it on from the outside in, you see. So different things when it comes to authority. But you shouldn't be offended by that. You should be glad that the Lord has told you the right way to do things and the right way that you're supposed to be, and submit to it and get into your measure and stay there and do what you're supposed to do in front of the Lord, and not being comparing yourself to the world, because the world's stupid. The world has absolutely no idea what's right and wrong, and don't compare yourself to the world. Get off of that TV and quit letting them fill your mind full of a bunch of garbage that you think that you're supposed to be like. Quit watching Dr. Phil, because he ain't got no idea what he's talking about. And go tell him I said that, because he don't. He does a whole lot of things and says he does a whole lot of good things, but they don't come out of his pocket. That's that television for you. But anyway, and a whole bunch of others that pretend. So when it comes to authority, the husband, the marital relationship. Let's move on to the next one. The next one, when it comes to different relationships that require obedience towards authority, would be the parent-child relationship in the home. Now, when we say parent-child relationship, what are we talking about? We're talking about children that live in the home with mom and daddy. Now, the Bible said to honor your mother and father, in the Lord, and the scriptures say that, and we stopped at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 last time, and let's begin there. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. That is addressed to children, and it's for all of us to read and learn from, but it's addressed to children. And it's very fundamental and elementary and ABC, and there's nothing misunderstanding about it. We were talking about one of them other programs about what happens. We're talking about children, and when do you stop being a child to your mother and father? When do you stop being? Now, the Bible says in Corinthians, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see, so there is a time that you stop being a child and you become a grown-up. You become a man. You become a woman. And you stop being a child. Okay, at that time, you don't have any problem with obeying your parents, and you're out on your own. You're out from under their roof. You've learned, and you know what's right and wrong. That's the way the Bible intends it to be, and you can do it on your own. But if you need lessons and you're listening, you're still a child, and there are some children that in big bodies nowadays that that don't know how to still don't know how to obey their parents. But the Bible was given an example of one that was a drunkard. Remember that? In the Old Testament, he was a drunkard, and he was he was a drunkard and a bum, more or less. He wasn't worth anything. So his mom and daddy got him and took him by the hand, took him to the priest. And the priest pronounced him to be stoned. And that was under the law. Now, children that still live under the roof of their mama and daddy, they're still under their authority. And when it comes to obeying, that's what they're to do if they live under their roof. But now, if you've grown up and you've put away childish things and you've become a man and you've become a woman and you've grown up and matured, you don't have any problem with showing honor and respect to your mother and father anyway when it comes to authority. You don't have any problem with that. Now, I know we have differences and things like that, but when maturity is in it and the Lord's in it and you've grown up and you've learned and you know how you've grown up in the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, you know how to talk them things out. And children don't always agree. They grow up and think mom and daddy didn't have it right on one thing, and they don't do it that way. But that's fine. But what we're talking about is obedience. Children today ain't got no idea what obedience is because they're not being taught it. And there are certain principles to being, to receiving lessons in obedience that are against law now. You can't whoop a child without somebody getting their nose in it and not minding their own business. They're talking about all this abuse that's going on and hurting children and blabbity, blabbity, blab, blab, blab. I don't think there's as many children that's being abused as they say there are. I think that what they're doing is highlighting the ones that are. And they're making one out of a trillion or one out of a million look like it's happening everywhere. But somehow they missed 20 years of my life whenever I was growing up under my daddy's roof. Not 20, but about 18. They missed 18 years of me growing up in my time under my daddy's roof because my daddy didn't take no. He didn't take no for an answer. And if somebody needed straightening out, me and my brothers or my sister, if we needed straightening out, it was executed speedily, right away. And that just made me respect my parents more. It didn't kill me. I thought it was going to, but it didn't. The Bible talks about that kind of stuff too. And unashamedly. The Lord says how to teach children. He sure does. And how to teach them obedience. And it requires a whooping. And He says, but the Lord don't say whoop them. He says beat them. But you know what He means. It'd take an idiot and a fool to think that God would instruct somebody to go out and abuse a child. It takes an idiot to think something like that. And there's some stupid people in the world that will think that. And try to accuse God. But God doesn't do things that way, and that's not the way God is. God wants obedience and correction for our benefit and for your children's benefit, not for His benefit. The Lord don't need to be any better. He's perfect. We're the ones that need the road map to correction and the road map to getting things right. This is just some of man's stupidity. Trying to kick God out of everything and kick God's rules out of everything. And now you're seeing when it comes to parent and child relationships in the home, now you're seeing the results of what's going on in man's idea of correcting children.
Well, don't whoop them.
Well, look around you. Look around you. A 12-year-old walk up and point a gun in your face, you better not assume it's a squirt gun anymore. It used to be a squirt gun. You know, we have children's prisons. Children's prisons. I ain't talking about correction homes or lovey-dovey homes where they sleep on beds and pillows and get up to get served breakfast and loved on and blah-bitty-blab and mom and daddy pay a big bill. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about prison behind bars. Children's prisons. And I'm not talking about 16, 17 years old, even though that is true. I'm talking about 6, 7, and 8-year-olds. Do you know there's a few of them that have life sentences? How in the world does a child that is being taught obedience do things that would deserve or do things that would deserve a life sentence from the government, from a courtroom? How does a child get that way? Now, let's just not be stupid. How does a child get that way? You reckon it's got anything to do with obedience? You reckon if that child had any kind of respect in him because he had somebody that loved him enough to correct him? And to take care of him and to teach him, and he knew that God was watching over him and that God expected him to read His word and to know what God thinks about his behavior too. If he knew all them things, that he would end up in a courtroom and a life sentence in prison. You can't say that that doesn't happen, because it's happening right now. Look it up. children's prisons, life sentences. Google it. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that in the Lord there, you say, well, the world's always got something to say, a question after everything when it comes to God. They'll say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, what if the parents are drunkards, and what if they're dope heads, and what if they're this and that and the other? Then what are they supposed to do? You mean to tell me that you, being a common sense person, can't figure that out? That the children ain't supposed to follow what's right, follow what's wrong about their parents. They're supposed to follow what's right about their parents. And if their parents are doing the right thing anyway, they're sinners and they're going to make mistakes and they're going to sin in front of the children. But because they respect the Lord and honor the Lord, all the other things are going to kick in too, like forgiveness and gentleness and long suffering, and all those things are going to kick in also. And the child's going to know all them things too, and give their mom and daddy the benefit of the doubt. And besides all that, keeping it in an ABC kind of way, children know whether their mom and daddy love them or not. You know, I ain't got any problem knowing whether I'm welcome somewhere or not. Do you? I know whether I'm welcome in a place. When I walk in to somebody's house, it don't take me 5 minutes to know whether or not I should be there or not. Don't you? And you're thinking a child that lives 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in a household with mom and daddy that they can't figure out whether or not that household is for real or not, or whether it's a big fake theatrical bunch of chaos. They know. They know. But the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, fortunately, there are some children that got enough sense about them that they can escape some of the things that are going to corrupt them for the rest of their lives from mama and daddy. If they make it alive until they get to young adulthood. Homicide's one of the biggest top 10 things with children nowadays, remember? The parents say, well, they're too hard to raise, just kill them. That's going on today, my friend. Today, right now, as we speak. You say, man, Brother TV, things sure have changed. Mm-hmm. They sure have. The Bible says when it comes to parent-child relationship, God hadn't changed his mind a bit when it comes to children. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You want to do right? Obey your parents. And he's talking to children. He's not talking to people that have put away childhood and are grown up now. Grown-ups know better, right? Right? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Okay, daddy walks outside and says, son, take his gun, go over to the neighbor's house and blow his brains out. Well, the Bible did say all things, Brother TV. You see how people are? You see how it is? These are the people I was talking about when we begin this message, the ones that shouldn't be listening to this, the insincere ones, the idiots, the stupid people. Wake up. You can't be stupid the rest of your life. You know the Lord doesn't mean things like that. He's talking to the children to help them to understand. Children think like children. And you don't have to do all the ins and out and the parenthetical chapters and this that. You don't have to do all that kind of stupid stuff when you like you talk to human like when you talk to adults and they want to examine your words and your sentences and all that kind of garbage. You know, the Lord keeps it ABCs. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now, a child understands that. All things. Okay, but does a child know that it ain't right for him to go over and blow somebody's brains out even though Daddy told him that? Of course he does. That's not what the Lord's talking about, and that's not where he's coming from. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Do you know that's the very, there's only a few verses, and those two right there having to do with children and what the Lord expects and requires from children and addresses them? Do you know what it is having to do with obedience and authority? I just read them to you. Two verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Case closed, period, enough said. They're children. Is that what the world's doing? That ain't at all what the world's doing. Now a child, if he don't like mom and daddy for any reason, pick up the phone, say, mom and daddy are abusing me, and here come the lights. Here comes the handcuffs, and you got to prove that you're a good parent. That's the way the world is, and that's why they got children's prisons now, and they got children going amok all over the place, a bunch of stinking crazy kids running all over the place and saying what they want to say and got no idea what obedience is or discipline, being disciplined or authority, and have absolutely no respect for authority. But that don't change the Bible. That don't change what God says is right. And the way that a Christian, remember what I said in the beginning of this program? This is not for anybody but Bible-believing, born-again, body of Christ, children of God, that sons of God, that want to learn the Scriptures because they want to obey their Lord in all things. And that's what we're learning together here, what the Bible says. So, the parent-child relationship in the home, children are to obey what? Obey their parents. Because why? Because it's right. Because it's right. You know, even some so-called grown-ups could take some advice from mama and daddy, even in their older years. I'm talking 20, 30, and 40 years old. I run a troubled men's camp up there, and the youngest one I had up there was 16, and I took him under special conditions, and the oldest one I had up there was almost 70. I would say the most of them run in the late 20s to the early 40s. Talking about authority and obedience. That was one of the biggest things having to do with troubled men. Is authority and obedience. The world does not teach you to be under authority. They teach you to be your own authority. Unless, of course, you're offending the government and what they say. But when it comes to mom and daddy, call us. We'll come and get them. Am I wrong? The third thing having to do with this, we're talking about different relationships that require obedience, and our study is on obedience. Different relationships that require obedience toward authority, the third one that we're going to talk about is the master-servant relationship. In other words, in the workplace. Now, we know what the Bible says about working and who's working, and when you got your priorities right when it comes to the Word of God, money is not everything to you anyway. Matter of fact, it's way down on the bottom of the scale because we don't trust in money and we don't trust in jobs and employment and securities and bank accounts and all that. We trust in the Lord because we've seen the Lord provide for us, and He can provide for us and will provide for us and promises to provide for us. And when you start trusting in the Lord enough to where you see that He really can take care of you and will take care of you if you will just trust Him and put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And they will. If you hadn't tried it, try it. Put the Lord to the test. But when it comes to master-servant relationship in the working place, the Lord has his opinion about that also and tells us about it. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5 through 7, listen to this. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men. Did you get that? So what's the Lord tell us there? We are to be obedient to our masters. When you got a job and you got a boss man, and all this discrimination garbage that goes around, and all the rules besides being in the family with the children-parent relationship, the master-servant, the employee-employer relationship now has gone just as nuts as all the rest of it. Now they're making rules from the government up there that you have to hire such and such, you have to hire this, you have to hire that, you have to do this, and you have to do that. An employer opens up a business, and he's trying to run his business and the way that he wants to, and the way that, you know, that's the way America was established. But now you open up a business, somebody steps in and tells you who you got to hire, and you got to like it, and you got to not backtalk about it. You know, the Lord said don't even get that way as far as a Christian. A Christian's job is not supposed to be so important to you that it affects your walk with the Lord. If your job is affecting your walk with the Lord, quit and trust the Lord and watch what he'll do for you. Don't let the enemy get you so tied up in a some kind of job-related flesh. And remember what the Lord, I just read it to you. The Lord didn't call it anything spiritual. He called it according, masters according to the flesh. The reason that you're working a job is so that you can gather up provisions. And the Lord says in another place, the reason that you work is so you can gather provisions so that you can give to somebody else. That's not the way the world thinks. That's the way Christians think, are supposed to think. We got a whole different idea about having provisions and earning money. A Christian earns money so that he can have, so he can give to others. That's what the Bible says. And to use it for his own provisions, of course, but not like the world thinks of job and provisions and stepping on people's head to climb up the ladder and corporate blabbity blab. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. The Lord said, mind them, do what they tell you to do, until it starts getting against your conscience with the Lord. When you're working for somebody, you keep a clear conscience with the Lord. And most of the time, you're not going to have this kind of problem anyway. If you're walking right with the Lord, your employer, your master is going to appreciate you. And you're going to get made fun of and persecuted and blabbity blab like all that that goes that the Lord said was going to go on. But when it comes to respect and your work ethic, he's going to appreciate you more than he will appreciate anybody else. And you'll see that. But the Lord said, don't make no big deal about working for somebody and make a big scene when it comes to according to the flesh. He said, work for them, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, not towards being scared of men, but fear and trembling towards your Lord, and singleness of heart as unto Christ, and not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You out there using a shovel for a master, getting a paycheck. You digging that ditch. You digging the ditch, doing the will of God from the heart. Because Christians walk in the Spirit, and they walk from the inside out. They don't walk from the outside in. The billfold is not the priority when it comes to a Christian. with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men. You want a good example? Philemon. The book of Philemon. That's what that's all about. A servant and a master. And when that servant finally got saved, Paul sent him back and told him to accept him back and treat him like a brother in Christ. And the relationship was right when it was spiritual. A servant-master relationship when it comes to authority. The Lord said, obey your boss man in the Lord. And you're not working for him, you're working for the Lord. And you're not working to get up the ladder, and you're not working to get a fat billfold or a fat purse or to have all the lovely things that the one-eyed monster TV is teaching you that you need and have to have, blah-bitty-blah, covet, 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 covet. We're not that way, and that's not the way our hearts want to be, because that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Christians are supposed to be like. The parent, the master-servant relationship in the workplace. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22 through 24, the Bible says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men. The reason your boss man is so pleased with you and your work ethic is because you don't work for him. You work for the Lord. He just happens to get the benefits of your labor. You see? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You got to remember that. And you got to stay in the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. If you got to be in a job and work a job, of course, that's what you got to do is to labor. The Lord set that with men. That's what the Lord said back in Eden. You're going to work by the sweat of your face now. And you got to work to, we trust in the Lord. The prophets in the Old Testament, the Bible, now Paul was a tent maker. He had a job, but his priority, you remember what his priority was? He never talked about having no job and making tents and the kind of thread he used and blah-bitty-blab and all this, that, and the other. He said that he never was a burden to anybody else, but he worked for his money and he worked to give, but his priority was serving the Lord. Good example. The parent-child relationship, the master-servant relationship, the marital relationship. What we're talking about here, brothers and sisters, is different relationships that occur or that require obedience towards authority. There's obedience and authority that have to be existent in these relationships. The marital relationship's not going to work if there's not obedience and authority in that relationship. The parent-child relationship is not going to work. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be profitable and bear fruit in the right way and that gives glory to God if there's not obedience and authority in it. I know how to help troubled men. All I need is the Word of God. And I sit back and watch. I labor for the Lord and watch the Word of God change a man all the way around. Everything. All these get-well places, they got the wrong idea. They have no power and they have no authority. They have pills, but they have no authority and they have no power. The Word of God is the power. It has the power. It will change. It done me. It changed me. You talking to somebody. I can tell you stories and tell you the truth. I'm one of them. The master-servant relationship. Another one. That's not all. Number four is the ruler-subject relationship. In other words, in society. The president, the governor, the mayor. We are to be in subjection to them as citizens in society. Does the Bible teach that? 1 Peter chapter 2. I seem to have lost it. The ruler. Wait a minute. Here it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to a king, to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. This is not a suggestion. This is the will of God. He says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The ruler-subject relationship. You're not supposed to be in one of them crowds that's up there, protesting the spotted white and pink pussycat, or whatever it might be. All the foolishness and stupidity. There's some court cases that are coming to the Supreme Court that are absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe that human beings, grown-ups, put the authority of the government, have to sit down with the Supreme Court and let them hear, have a hearing about some of the stupid things, and spend money, government money, and have to have the Supreme Court rule on some of these things that you could get a child to say whether it's right or wrong. That's how foolish and stupid all this stuff is now. But you, as a Christian, are not supposed to be in the middle of it. When Paul got brought before all the authorities, and Silas and all of them, when they come before the authorities, they spoke their mind when they had the permission to do it, but they spoke spiritual mind and spiritual things and spoke the truth. They didn't argue about stupid stuff. Paul got told that he was nuts by one of them kings. He told him, you're nuts. You're beside yourself. And he never got no argument about it. And he didn't challenge him. And he didn't rebel and protest and all that kind of stuff. He submitted himself for the Lord's sake. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 through 7, listen to this. It said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Did you get that, Christian? No matter who's in charge of you and who has authority over you, the Bible says there is no power that is in control without God knowing about it and being in control of it. For there is no power but of God. Even the crooked ones. The powers that be are ordained of God. You say, well, how does God put some... Listen, there you go protesting again. What does it say? It says the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, you either believe that and are going to accept it as God's word and truth, or you're going to protest and argue with it and live in confusion. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. It's going to cost you to resist, and you're going to suffer for the wrong things rather than for the right things. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. When you're serving the Lord and you're doing right, most of the time you don't have no run-ins with any authorities anyway, do you? Maybe a speeding ticket here and there and everything else that should make you so ashamed that you ain't going to never do it again and mad at yourself because you knew better anyway. and you do care. Because the first thing a Christian will do when he gets pulled over is, I'm sorry, Lord, I knew better. Instead of going into rebellion, arguing with the police and getting handcuffed and putting in a police car and taking down to jail and blabbity, blabbity, blah, blah, blah. The Bible says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Now, regardless of what you think about the police force and the government and who's good and who's bad and the Democrat and the Republican and blah, just blah, blah, blah. The Bible says the rulers, when God's in control, that God's ordained, that they're ordained of God and God's in control and has power over them all, and that they are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, it might not look that way, but that's what the Bible says. Now, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, when you're sincere and you got a clear conscience and you're really serving God and you're doing the right things and you love the Lord and you're trying sincerely as best as you can in your life and the Lord knows it and you know it, you don't ever have no run-ins with authority anyway, do you? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. In other words, the authorities that God has over you is a minister that the Lord put over you to take care of you. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. You're not supposed to be thinking fleshly and worldly and like the world thinks. You're supposed to be thinking spiritually. Walk in the Spirit and look at things spiritually. Completely different. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute, pay your taxes. Jesus paid his taxes. He said he didn't have to, but he said to keep this, to keep them from being offended to us, let's pay it. Instead of arguing with them, going to court about whether we should pay taxes or not, Peter, go down there and wet a hook, pull the first fish up, get the money, and go pay mine and your taxes. That's what the Lord did. Now, why you got problems paying yours? You should do it because God says so, not because you agree with it or disagree with it. You do it because God says so. And keep your conscience clear. And you don't have to get any stupid arguments with people over something that don't make any difference in eternity anyway. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Pay your bills. Tribute to whom tribute is due, taxes. Custom to whom custom. I mean, if you there's a country ruling over you and they say this is the custom, as long as it doesn't offend what the Word of God says and what God says for us to do, then do it. Fear to whom fear and honor to whom honor. The Lord says, you see that? The ruler-subject relationship. Being in society, every Christian citizen is to be what? To the higher powers. What's the answer? Subject to the higher powers. Because it is the what? It is the will of God. The verses plainly told us right there where we read, that's New Testament, Pauline epistle, even found in Hebrews there, written to the Jews. So what have we talked about today? We discussed and reviewed the marital relationship. We're talking about different relationships. Our study is on obedience. Different relationships that require obedience towards authority. The marital relationship has to have obedience in it, and it has to have authority in it. You women that are wasting your time going out in all this women's movement and stuff like that, you're just going to end up shaming yourself. It's a shame for that to happen. To every woman that thinks she's going to stand up for her rights, she has no right to stand up. You have no rights except to do what God says. The only ones that should be doing that kind of stuff are worldly women that don't care nothing about God and they're wicked and they want to stand up for their rights. Let them fight it out. You do what God says. The parent-child relationship. You folks that have children, you better get in that Bible and you better start putting the Word of God in them children's minds. You better start saturating your children. I don't care how much, what it takes to do it, you better start putting the Word of God in your child's mind and saturating them and let them know that you're not ashamed of the Lord. The master-servant relationship. Your boss man, your job. The Bible says obey, be obedient. Do what you're supposed to. Man paying you for a job, do the job. Don't be taking cuts and lying on your time card and all that kind of stuff. Don't do all that stuff. Your service is to the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you're wiping out toilets or whatever you're doing. And then we finally talked about the ruler-subject relationship as far as the government and as far as authorities up in that on up in the echelon there. Having to do with being a citizen and things like that. We are to obey and go by the laws of the land and obey them and do what we're supposed to do as unto the Lord, as long as people aren't taking away our Bible and taking away our doctrine and trying to change our God. So we're going to stop there. And we've only gotten through three, but I think that was perfect and beautiful the way that the Lord set that up, and I've enjoyed the study today, haven't you? And learned quite a bit, and if God the Holy Ghost has corrected anything in you, then correct it, confess it, and fix it. And if He has commended you and patted you on the back and you get confidence and been edified and exhorted, praise the Lord for that. That's what the Word of God is for. And we still have more relationships that we need to study, and we'll go on into them on the next one. Let me give you these scriptures for today. Let's see where we started. Oh, we started Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, didn't we? And we'll pick up there. Here they are. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 7. I'm having problems seeing today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. Let's see here. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. And I think we did one more. I thought we did Hebrews somewhere, but nope, we're just going to stop right there. I'll be sure you get them all, but the ruler-subject relationship in society was the last one that we did, and the last verse that you should have in this study up to right now is Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. We'll begin at number 5 on our study of study of obedience and studying about different relationships. We'll begin at number 5, and that is concerning the pastor, the pastor assembly relationship. In other words, in the church, the flock, the sheep, and the pastor, and the relationship having to do with authority and what the Bible has to say about that. Then we'll move on into God and man relationship and man and animal relationship. And the Bible talks about that, yes. The God and nature relationship. You see how the devil is? The devil gets in, and then God and the devil's relationship and the unclean spirits. And then we'll talk about the truth, faith, the Word of God. concerning the child of God relationship. And some real good stuff and things that we should know as Christians in the ABC realm of the Word of God. So praise the Lord. It's been a good day. And I thank you again. I can't thank you enough for listening into the, I'm grateful and appreciative that there are still people, my brothers and sisters, that are interested in the Word of God. Anybody could be teaching this and doing this. As a matter of fact, when you get this material, you should be doing it, if you can. But if you can't, then you should be. This is material that you can keep going over and over and over and over, and it teaches you something different every single time. God the Holy Ghost uses it because it is His Word. So the Lord encourage you, and I exhort you to be encouraged that you're doing right. Thank you for sitting 1 hour out of your busy, busy day and giving it to the Lord. And those that honor the Lord will honor in return. Have a good evening. This is Brother TV, and I love you with Christ's love. Bye-bye.